Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Here at WBOC Radio, we are committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations and educating the world against anti-Semitism and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. Right? In addition, I'm personally here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded and searching for a shepherd. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me here at WBOC Radio, you can call 515-602-9613 live during the show or leave a message at 931-563-3377 and email us at talk@wbocradio.org with questions you'd like answered on the broadcast or topics you'd like for me to address. All right, you can also write to us at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast with questions or comments with future broadcasts, today I'm not going to have time to take any calls, but the number is 515-602-9613. I have a lot of material to cover today. So, again, write that number down for a future broadcast. It's 515-602-9613. You could also reach out to me and look at my blog, get copies of my book or books or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at WBOC Radio. .org. You can like us on Facebook at wbocradio.org as well. Make sure you put the .org in when you're looking us up on Facebook, which is why I continually repeat that and where the podcasts, they're posted immediately after the show, or you could watch us live right now. That's facebook.com/wbocradio.org, or you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at wbocradio. I'm also on YouTube. Just type in WBOC Radio. You could also look me up under my name, Deborah Powers, D-E-B-R-A. For those of you watching live on Facebook and YouTube, thank you for tuning in. I'm excited to be here today. If you've missed any part of the show, you can go back and watch the broadcast in its entirety at wbocradio.org. All right, we found that there are numerous listeners from all over the world who are unable to call into the broadcast with their questions or their comments. So Facebook and YouTube have allowed us to connect with those listeners during the show. So I'll be taking questions from them in future broadcasts as well. But if you're just now listening to this, that's what's going on. We have live video feeds on Facebook and YouTube that's broadcasting this, a live broadcast as well on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also go to wbscradio.org, scroll down and click on the live audio, and you can listen there. Periodically, I'll be shouting out to different countries. So if you're listening now, don't forget to let me know where you're from when you add your comments. I want to hear from you. You can comment on Facebook and YouTube, and you can ask questions, and I'll go back and I'll answer them on Facebook and YouTube later after the show. Stay tuned in over the next few months for in-depth studies from my latest book. It's called Mystery of the Ketubah. All right, now these studies will include revealing the identity of the bride, getting to know our Jewish roots as Christians, and understanding cultural divisions and learning about the ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel, which Jesus referred to throughout the scriptures. So when we read the word of God through the eyes of a bride, the mystery of the word can be understood by anyone. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the word of God when you've been equipped with the true identity of the church. You won't want to miss this. All right, now there's people who don't know what the ketubah is. They don't know what the traditions are in Israel. That's the whole point in this study. So if I've just said a bunch of things that you don't understand, then stay tuned in and it's a very interesting topic because you're going to find out who you are. You're going to understand exactly who we are as the Bride of Christ and why we're even called the Bride of Christ. All right, so I also want to announce the launch of the new website at wbscradio.org. There have been many resources and information for you to access there, and we add things daily. So check us out at wbscradio.org, and don't forget to sign up for our updates. I promise I won't blow up your email. I'll just keep you up to date once in a while on what's going on, and if there's anything important you may need to be aware of that may affect you as a Christian. So I'm going to keep you up to date on world affairs as well. So don't miss Israel on the Street. You could check us out on the tab on the wbscradio.org website. There's a tab at the top I want you to click on, and it's called the Fellowship tab. You click on that and you're going to find out about Israel on the Street. You're also going to see a bunch of pictures that we've taken throughout our visits to Israel and groups and tours that we go on, which is very small groups of people on the street that we go out and we have a really great time interacting with the people in Israel and from all over the world. It is a great melting pot. It was the original melting pot. So maybe you or someone you know are seeking answers to questions about your salvation, or you've had doubt about the Word of God. Right? Perhaps you are not sure that God even cares about you, especially with the holidays coming up and it being Christmas. Right now, we're just getting ready to hit December. It's right after Thanksgiving, and you're wondering, if people don't care about you, how could God even care about you? Then please stay tuned into this series. All right, for an in-depth look into these questions that keep you separated from God, please get a copy of my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. I've given this book to lost souls all over the world, from prisons to nursing homes. It's full of these very questions which keep many people from having that personal relationship with Christ. So again, if you want to be part of future broadcasts, then please call 515-602-9613. Write that number down. Or you can call 931-563-3377 and leave a message. If you have a question, I'll mention you on the air and I'll answer your question. All right, so you could also tune in live right now on Facebook or YouTube. I'll tell you that again. There's questions and comment feeds in there that you could put in and I'll answer your questions. Let me know what country you're calling from. So today is the fourth episode of a 10-part series from Gifts of the Spirit. In this episode, we're talking about gifts of prophecy. Right, so spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God for the accomplishment of God's purpose in the world and for the edification of the church and the body of Christ. All right, that is the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. The gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 is divided into two major categories. It's gifts which involve speech and gifts which involve action. So the action gifts are faith, miracles, and healing, and the speech gifts are speaking wisdom, speaking words of knowledge. Discerning of spirits, they could fall in the category of both speech and action. All right, so there's three additional speech gifts, and that's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Again, today I'm going to continue with the series with the gifts of prophecy. Then next Monday, we'll bridge the gap between the verbal gifts of and the power gifts with the gifts of discerning of spirits. So last week, we discussed the purpose of the Spirit and how he operates, as well as gifts of speaking in diverse tongues. So Monday, we'll talk about interpretation of tongues. All right. Monday, we talked about interpretation of tongues. And if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, just go back, check them out. I don't want you to miss anything. You'll have a clear understanding of the gifts as you do that. I don't want to take up a lot of this broadcast today with trying to fill you in. I'll try to keep you up to speed without repeating too much of the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to let you look up 1 Corinthians 12 because I've already talked about 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 extensively where these gifts are listed. So if you want to catch up, I suggest you go back and read those chapters as well as Acts 2. So the first prophet talked about in Scripture chronologically and confirmed by God was Abraham. Now, God came to Abimelech in a dream, and he was the king of Gerar to let Abraham's wife Sarah go. What happened was Abimelech had taken Sarah because he believed her to be Abraham's wife, sister, because that's what Abraham had told him, because he was afraid of being killed, so that if they killed him, they would take Sarah because she was very beautiful. And so the first mention in here of a prophet was the prophet Abraham. So God told him to give Sarah back to Abraham, for he is a prophet and he will pray for you so that you will live, because he had gotten very sick, him and his family, his household, all of his women, everybody had boils on them, I believe it was in this particular scripture. And in a dream, God came to him and said that Abraham's a prophet, let him go, he'll pray for you, but if you don't, you're going to die. So right there, he confirms Abraham's a prophet. God also confirmed Aaron, who was Moses' brother, as a prophet as well in Exodus 7 and 1. And his sister Miriam was also a prophetess, as told in Exodus 15 and 20. or so that's Exodus 7:1 and Exodus 15:20. And of course, Moses himself was a prophet. All the words, you know, God spoke to him was prophetic because it came from the mouth of God, you know, straight to the people. Now, nonetheless, he's also called a prophet in Deuteronomy 34:10, that there's no other prophet greater, you know, among the people than it was of Moses. And other examples given when Israel was in the wilderness. And I'd like to read this scripture because I love Moses' response to Joshua. This is wonderful. It also has several examples of prophecy as well as the prophetic words of Moses spoken throughout this whole scripture I'm going to read. It's Numbers 11:24-29. It says, Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Right there, he prophesied, and gathered the 70 elders of the people and set them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took his spirit and gave it to the 70 elders. All right, so, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took his spirit and gave it to the 70 elders. So he spoke to Moses. Anything Moses says is a prophetic word. He's speaking what God gives him. All right, it's inspired. Prophecy is the inspired word of God. But here's the point in the story. It says, and it came to pass that when the Holy Spirit rested on them, they prophesied and didn't stop. That's the 70 elders. But there were two men left in the camp named Eldad and Medad, and they didn't go up. And the Holy Spirit rested on them as well, and they were part of the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied and they didn't stop. Now, I am paraphrasing this, all right? So then a young man ran to Moses to tell on him. And Joshua said to Moses, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said to him, do you envy them for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. That was paraphrased, like I said, from Numbers 11:24-29. That is so amazing because Moses himself, even in the response to Joshua, is literally prophesying of us with his spirit being put on us. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'll just give you the scripture, Jeremiah 31:31. All right, so the entire word of God was written by his holy prophets, and this includes the epistles or the letters of the new covenant. So, you know, this has been well established. Of course, I can't forget to mention the prophet Deborah, the prophetess Deborah, who was also a judge, and you can read about her in Judges 4. It starts out in Judges 4, and she even sang a song, and she was definitely a judge and a prophetess. So God used his inspired prophets, both men and women, to minister to Israel in the Old Covenant because his spirit was given to those who he chose, not who men chose. All right, so God's presence abided with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies throughout the Old Covenant. God tells us through his prophets, and like I was mentioning before, Jeremiah 31:31, that the days would come that he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them. He is saying right there that he is going to put his spirit in us. So Moses was prophesying of us receiving the spirit, that the spirit would abide in us and that we would be prophets. However, not everyone is a prophet. All right, well, I don't want to get too far ahead, but he was saying that God would pour out his spirit upon us and the time would come. And then Jeremiah 31:31 confirms that. That he's going to make a new covenant with us, not the covenant that was made with the Israel in the wilderness, but a new covenant where their sons, you know, teeth won't be like eating sour grapes. And what that means when you're reading 31 in there, when you read that, I'm going to just tell you right now what it means, even though it's off topic, but I don't want to leave this up to translation. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. It's not going to be where you are being held accountable for the sins of your father. Each man will be held accountable and have his own relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Christ. So one comes after the other, comes after the other. First, they had to listen to the prophets of the Old Covenant. Then they went when Jesus came, and after, you know, in the upper room and at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us, which is called the gift of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit, but the ultimate gift was the Holy Spirit. I'll get into that in a minute. He was poured out upon the new believers in the new covenant when they entered into that new covenant with them. And so now we have the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of God, and he pours out through his Spirit, which is a gift to us, the gifts of the Spirit, which I'll get into in just a second. So God's presence abided in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies throughout the Old Covenant, but now he abides in us, and that's confirmed in Jeremiah 31:31 that would be happening, right? So no one is responsible for somebody else's salvation. It says that each man must work out his own salvation in fear and trembling. So we're going to mainly address today not according to the covenant I made with, yeah, I read that to you. Okay, so we're going to mainly address today the gift of prophecy in the new covenant and whether or not there are still prophets among us today. So I also want to add that a prophet is also one who is a dreamer of dreams as well. So this is stated in Deuteronomy 13. A prophet is a dreamer of dreams. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, Paul writes, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And again, I'm just throwing this out there to you so you understand where we are right now and what we're discussing. Because go back and read 1 Corinthians 12. You could read 13. It's about the greatest is love. And he's saying that it's charity. Charity is love, if you're reading in the King James. And then 14. So I went into last week and the week before, went in extensively and discussed 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Not 12 verse 14, but chapter 12 and chapter 14. So notice he said, the gifts of the Spirit are given through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit himself was the gift, which is what I was saying a second ago. So God gave us his Spirit as a gift, and the gifts are given also. Forgive me if I'm a little tongue-tied right now. I haven't talked much this morning, and it's extremely cold out right now. It was 17 degrees out this morning here in McMinnville, Tennessee. That's where we're broadcasting from, and my lips seem frozen, even though I have the wood burner blasting in there to accommodate us and to overtake some of the cold. So my furnace doesn't run overtime. So if you hear a bunch of noise in the background, that's what it is. It's that heater blowing, but it feels really good. But my lips are still a little bit locked up this morning. So there's many examples in the New Testament of prophets, including prophetesses. They're Paul. He laid his hands upon them, it says in Acts 19:6, that the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and they prophesied. And Philip, he had four daughters who prophesied. Everybody uses the scripture to say that women prophesied in the Old Testament. But it says Paul came into Caesarea and he entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. He had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Okay, that's Acts 21:9. But I tell you that these women were not an anomaly. And there's two that I mentioned, Miriam and Deborah. Not only was Deborah a judge, but she was a prophetess, and a judge of Israel. So if she was good enough for God, if a woman was good enough for God to pour out a spirit upon them that they would prophesy, they should be good enough to be able to minister the word of God as well. Just saying. So Paul said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he who speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. That's 1 Corinthians 14:5. So he's saying right here that he wants us to prophesy. Matter of fact, it's one of the greatest gifts he says to desire. I recall the first time, matter of fact, I'm glad I remembered this because I wanted to tell you about it. The first time I actually read this scripture and it sunk in, because I knew that the gifts of the Spirit were talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and through 14, but I didn't really put much emphasis of seeking out any of the gifts in my life. I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues as an extremely young Christian, not knowing anything about the word of God, let alone the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So 3 weeks later, I was baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. However, I never coveted the gifts. I did want to see people healed, and I had an earnest desire to see people healed because I worked in the hospitals, and it broke my heart to see people suffering, and I wanted to do something for them. So yes, I would say that I did desire the gift of healing, the gifts of healing, that's plural. We'll get into that in a later episode in this series. But I didn't think about prophecy. So as I was reading the scripture, and it said to desire, you know, the greater gift, that of prophecy, then I prayed and I just said, Lord, if this is, you know, prophecy isn't something that I was seeking after, but if this is what you want for me to be able to bring you glory and to minister to your people, then I pray that you give me the gift of prophecy. And I never thought anything else of it after that. But I noticed, without even knowing what was really happening, later on as I would build and build upon that, that I could see that God was using me in the prophetic. As a matter of fact, there were things that he was showing me that he had shown me before that I didn't understand. And all this was coming to light. For example, I had a dream for years, all the way throughout being a teenager, even before I was saved. I had this dream that I was always flying in this dream. And it was always above the trees. It was just, I felt like I had wings on my back, like a hand glider. So I always thought that I was going to be a pilot or something because I was naive at the time and didn't understand and always took things as a literal translation. So if you get bit by a snake in your dreams, a snake isn't going to bite you outside and you don't need to stay out of your garden. You know, and I'm not going to go into what certain things mean in dreams because I know that I've never looked anything up, but as God gives me the interpretation of these dreams, I understand them immediately. As someone's talking, I see something completely different than what they're saying. So I had a dream that I was flying above the trees and I felt like I was on a hand glider, and I've always wanted a hand glide because of this. There's other dreams that was continually went on for, you know, 20 years, where once in a while I would dream that I was outside and I would push up off the ground. And as long as I would, you know, do the flap my arms back and forth, I would sail through the air. But I would bounce, and I would bounce off the ground and I would push back up again. And as long as I continued to swing my arms like I was swimming, then I would stay in the air and I could come down and I can land and I could push off right back again and just keep on going. But in the continual dream that I had most of all, it's the one where I was flying over the top of the trees, and I was always in the sky above the trees, always flying. And so I knew later God had showed me what that meant. Another dream that I had was a dream of where I was standing on these stilts above all these people. And there were thousands of people outside this Walmart, sort of like Walmart store. I don't know what it was. It was a parking lot like that. And I had these little potted flowers that had roots, and I was handing them out one at a time. And I was giving them away, but people wanted to give me $1 or $2. They just kept giving me money for these little flower pots. So I'm just saying that I didn't want to get off track, but to God be the interpretation, not us, and he receives the glory. So again, I read the scripture, when Paul laid his hands on them, they received, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And Philip had four daughters who prophesied, and that's in Acts 21 and 9. And Paul said that he would rather that we would all speak with tongues and prophesy, because for greater is he that prophesies than he who speaks with tongues. So another example of a prophetic dream that happened, it was 3 months before my first trip to Israel. And in that dream, I dreamed, and I don't normally, I try to stay away from mentioning people's names. I'm going to go ahead and do that today. There is this pastor in my dream who I had not met before, had seen him on television, And in the dream, I had gone to this place called Yard and Eat. Of course, in the dream, I didn't know what it was. But later, I found out what it was. It was a garden on the Jordan River called Yard and Eat, close to where the water flows into the Sea of Galilee or Tiberian Sea. And I dreamed that I was there, but when we pulled up, I dreamed that there was these buses that, like, there was like two or three buses full of people with this ministry, and it said so-and-so's ministry on the side. In the dream, I go inside, and there's these people in these white gowns, and they're all going down to the river, and they're being baptized. So they're all dressed in white gowns, and they're in this long line, and one after another is just being baptized, one after another. And in my dream, I go over, I'm standing there, and I'm watching, but then I turn away, and I don't get baptized. So 3 months later, I go to Israel, and we pull up, and the person that was with me, her mouth just fell open, because there was so-and-so's buses in the parking lot. We go in, and there's all these people lined up in white gowns being baptized by this pastor, one after another. And I had the choice. I turned, and instead of going down there to be baptized by him, I go over to this other baptismal pool over to the side. It's much different today than it was the very first time I had gone. But the point is that it was a prophetic dream, and it came to pass because God was showing me something. And unfortunately, to this day, I wished that I would have gone down to be baptized by him. I don't know what would have happened, but I didn't go down. And I'm a little bit more astute today as God is speaking to me and showing me things that I didn't quite understand before. So there's 9 principles of judging prophecy that I can see. All prophecies not from God, or Paul would not have said, let 2 or 3 speak and let the others judge, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 29. Not to mention that 1 John 4 and 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, so we know that there are false prophets in the world. We know that not all prophecies are from God. So that's the reason we need to test the spirits, quote unquote, is because every prophetic utterance either comes from God, the flesh, or the devil through evil spirits. And those are soothsayers, which is palm readers, and these people, these Long Island mediums, and the things that we see on the television now, all these things, if they're speaking and they're prophesying, it's a demonic spirit that is speaking through them. So the purpose of the New Testament prophecy is to edify, exhort, and to comfort. All right, so that's the very first thing that I want to say when it comes to the 9 principles of prophecy. It's to edify, to enlighten, inform, educate, or instruct is what the word edify means. So edify means to enlighten, inform, educate, and instruct. And I'm bringing this out of 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. So the purpose of the New Testament prophecy, again, is to edify, exhort, and to comfort. So edify means, now pay attention to this, because a lot of people want to, say that edify means something different than it does. Some say edify, well, let me say it again. It's to enlighten, inform, educate, instruct. All right, so I'm saying that again because of this. Some say that edify or encourage would only be a good prophecy that tells you wonderful things about your life. All right, so I'm disagreeing with that is why I'm making an issue about this. The greatest gift anyone could receive is the message of repentance. All right, if I preach repentance to someone, it may be a hard word for some of them to hear, but the miracle in the message is salvation. So it could be a word, a prophecy that I speak to somebody, but it's to repent And if that prophetic word is showing them, if they don't repent, this is what's going to happen. You know, this word does edify them if they follow the prophetic word, but if they ignore it. So no, it's not doom and gloom. A prophetic word should edify you. But if you ignore that prophetic word, that's not going to be, you know, too much lifting up, as they say, that it's to encourage you. Well, yes, repentance is a message of encouragement. Repent and your sins will be forgiven. Right. So I'm disagreeing actually with that same pastor who I didn't go down there and get baptized by, because that's what he teaches. But I really strongly, and most people do say that to edify means to, you know, only lift them up and encourage them. And I'm just saying that if you look at the definition of edify, clearly says that it is to lift them up, but it means to educate them and inform them as well, to instruct them and to teach them. So I'm disagreeing, but I'm not disagreeing. I do agree that the word edify means to, you know, to encourage them, to lift them up, but it just depends on how you take it. However, I will say the reason that he says this is because he's defending the position about these people who go and they're shouting prophetic, what they say is a prophetic word, and they are, you know, screaming at you and hollering at you saying you're going to go to hell. That's what he was defending. So I do agree with that position as well. All right. So example of a prophetic dream that, another example of a prophetic dream that I interpreted was for a friend. And this goes along with the example of edifying. And I know for a fact this was a prophetic dream, because I would not have even, you know, thought twice about this. But in the dream, her nephew had died and had gone to hell. Parents and his family were all sitting on the front row where you would normally sit a family in the funeral home, and nobody was doing anything about it. But his aunt, she refused to go because she was on her knees at home and she was praying and interceding for him. And she was saying, "Don't you care? Don't you care that he is dead and he's gone to hell? You know, we got to bring him back. Because he's gone to hell. We have to bring him back. We can't leave him there." And she wasn't going to go to a funeral where she acknowledges his death in this dream when she was praying that God would lift him back up. What the dream meant was that he was lost spiritually. Nobody was paying attention, and that God had put a burden on her spirit to intercede for him, that he would come back. And there's a lot more to it than that. But this prophetic word would not have been a good one to speak to him, because it's saying that he's spiritually dead and he's going to go to hell. All right, so this was, it does line up with the word of God, because it did edify them, because edification is to instruct them and inform them to repent. If he would have turned, which he did, praise God, he did come back to church. Not to say that going back to church is what brought him salvation, but I'm saying he turned from sin, came back to the Lord, and he's now going to church. So, next, prophecy must agree with the word of God. So all prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the word of God. So the Holy Spirit would not contradict himself. Okay. I said I wasn't going to take any calls today, but I am going to go ahead and take one call. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it. All right. So if you're listening right now, I'll have to turn these off right here. Hi, this Hello. Is Deborah Powers. You're on Bride of Christ Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Catherine and I'm calling from New York.
I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?
Catherine.
Catherine, hi. This is Deborah Powers with Bride of Christ Radio and you're live on the air. What's your question?
Hi, blessings. I didn't know you were taking calls, but thank you. If you could tell me anything regarding work, I'd really appreciate it.
Regarding work?
Yes, any kind of work I should be doing.
Oh, so you're calling for a prophetic word. What we're talking about is What I suggest, first of all, I don't want to cut you off. We are talking about prophecy, but what I want you to understand is that before you go seeking a word, you know, from anybody, especially somebody that calls himself a prophet, I truly suggest that you seek after the Lord first, and don't go to people that are reading palms or these mediums and stuff like that, because anybody that's, you know, they could give you a word that does not, it might lift you up and encourage you, but it doesn't mean that it's from the word. And that's what we're talking about today. It doesn't mean that the word is from the Lord. And I really highly suggest that you don't ever go after anybody seeking after a word that they could give you. And sometimes when you're being ministered to one-on-one, if you're in the church and someone has a word from you, what I'm getting into right now are the 9 points of a prophetic word that if it's not from the, you know, if it doesn't line up with the word of God. So the first thing I'm going to say, and I'm glad that you even called in today, Catherine, because I want the people to understand that, you know, we can't go seeking after a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word in our life, because 9 times out of 10, when we go seeking after something, we're going to find it, but it's not going to be what we're looking for. It might be the answer that we think we want, but it's not the answer that the Lord has for us. So if you wait and it's in your timing, you know, if it's in God's timing and not your timing, then I promise you, he'll give you direction. So I suggest that you press into the Lord and that you pray and that you seek him for guidance and not after man. But there are prophets out there today that do go around calling themselves prophets, but they're the things that if you finish listening to the series today, then make sure you pay attention to the 9 points that I'm going to make here in just a minute regarding the prophecies and the prophetic word that we receive. So thank you so much for calling in.
I love that. Yes. Thank you. God bless you.
Do you have any other questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, that really answered, because I even have somebody that she comes to my house and I'm trying to decipher if she is from the Lord, and she'll try to tell me stuff sometimes. And, you know, so I'm really trying to decipher that. So I feel I was divinely guided to call into you today. So maybe in listening to those 9 points as well, I'll be able to, you know, see if she's really for me or, you know, or not.
That's right. And sometimes it may line up with the word of God, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's from God. And so I'll make those points in just a moment, but go back and listen to the beginning of the series if you're just now tuning in. It's the fourth episode in the 10-part series from Gifts of the Spirit, and it's about gifts of prophecy. And so it's really important. And I'll take some notes and I'll put on the website, wbocradio.org. So if you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to Bride of Christ Radio, and we're discussing gifts of prophecy. All right, so we're continuing a 10-part series, the gifts of the Holy Spirit with the gift of prophecy. If you'd like to call in with your comments or questions, I'll take calls at 515-602-9613. Catherine, thank you so much for calling in, and God bless you, and continue to listen to Bride of Christ Radio. All right, so we're going to move on, and I had to take off my headset so that you could hear what she's saying. I'm still having some problems trying to get this to come across to you on Facebook and YouTube at the same time. So we're going to continue on with the 9 points. So let's go back up. We talked about the purpose of the New Testament prophecy is to edify, exhort, and to comfort. That's in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. So take notes on that. The next, prophecy must agree with the word of God. And I'm just reiterating this again for Catherine's sake, if she's still listening in. All prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit would not contradict himself. Also, prophecy must bear fruit. That's where we are right now. And agree with the Holy Spirit. I want to give a shout out to Marie right now. I'm sorry, Marie, I cannot make out your last name. Phenucian. She's watching from the Taos River or Western Cape, South Africa. Thank you so much, Marie, for tuning in. And we're talking about gifts of prophecy, the gift of prophecy in the New Testament church, and whether or not it's for today. So prophecy must bear fruit and agree with the Holy Spirit. Prophets don't scream at people and tell them they're going to go to hell. So Matthew 7 and 15, 16 states that false prophets come as wolves in sheep's clothing. And Jesus didn't do that, and he doesn't expect his prophets to act this way either. So if what I'm talking about here is if somebody is standing on the street corner and they have a Bible in their hand and they're screaming at you to repent because you're going to go to hell, that might be true. But if he's also prophesying other things or anything that lines up with the word of God, but it does not come in the, you know, if it's not bearing fruit, if he's not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, love, faithfulness, and self-control, then I'm telling you right now that he's not from the Lord. He might have good intentions, but I've heard that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So be careful with that. So prophecy must bear fruit. If prophecy contains predictions that don't come true, the prophecy was false. That's Deuteronomy 18:22. That's another one to test the spirit. So if prophecy contains predictions that do not come true, the prophecy was false and it's a false prophet. Never speak from the Lord's mouth and say that thus saith the Lord, unless you know what God's voice sounds like and you're hearing from his hearing his voice, and make sure that it's not a spirit of error. So prophecy comes if prophecy contains predictions that do not come true, the prophecy was false. Look up Deuteronomy 18:22. If a prophecy comes true and promotes disobedience against God or scripture, it's not a true prophecy. Okay? An example of this is when a woman claimed that God spoke to her and told her she, you know, should smoke cigarettes again, that it was okay if she started smoking again, or if he tells you to sin. It goes against the word of God. That just is a false prophet, and I don't know what spirit she's listening to, but she needs to definitely find out who the Lord truly is. So the word says, if there's arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which we have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Deuteronomy 13:1-3. All right, it doesn't get any clearer than that. A prophecy comes true and promotes disobedience against God or scripture, it's not a true prophecy. Pay attention to that. Next, true prophecy produces liberty and not bondage. Again, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about with the pastor who agrees with saying all scripture should be for edifying, and that defined word of edifying means only good things should be said. But yet repentance is a strong message, and it's the strongest message that we could give. So true prophecy predicts liberty and not bondage. I agree with that. But repentance does not produce bondage. Praise God. All right, so the word says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's Romans 8:15. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. I'm getting pretty excited here reading these scriptures. I just want to start crying. I just love the word of God, and I know that people who are misguided and taken astray by these wolves in sheep's clothing, it breaks my heart when they get on TV and listen to these mediums, because they want to exhort you and lift you up and tell you all these good things and things that you want to hear. But in the long run, and I wrote this in my first book, Tell Them I Am Sent Me. But in the long run, they may say something that's true, because these people are operating under demonic spirit. And as they're operating under this spirit, they're saying things because it's a familiar spirit. So they do have things that they know and that they're familiar with, but it's only because they've been around for thousands of years as well. No, they were on this earth. They were cast down with Satan. So they know a little bit about what's going on, unless they come into the presence of someone like me and those spirits have to flee. So anything that happens between us, they're not going to know about. I'm saying that to say that they may know something about you, and they might tell you something you want to hear, or that your loved one is in heaven. And even though they live like the devil, and they drank and cussed and was you know, Satan's right-hand man, that does not mean that that person is speaking from the Lord or that it's even true. Why would they tell you something good like that? And I'm going to tell you why. Because if that person can live that way and serve the devil and still go to heaven, then the objective here is to tell you that you don't have to serve the Lord, that you can still go to heaven, live like the devil, and still go to heaven, and it's not going to affect you, because goodness is enough to get to heaven, and that is absolutely a false teaching. And if you want to know why a medium would tell you something like that, that's the reason why. All right, let's see. We've got Ursula Van Stavel watching from Cape Town, South Africa. Praise God. I want to give a shout out to Ursula. And also we have the Perry family, and we have Patricia Gussie watching. So shouting out to all you on YouTube. I'm sorry I haven't checked in with, on Facebook, excuse me, and I haven't checked in on YouTube right now because I'm trying to still get this message out. I got 13 minutes, and I want you to get this. It's an amazing message. So true prophecy produces fresh revival in the congregation. That's the next. But backing up real quick, one more thing. Any form of control over another person by intimidation, manipulation, or domination is witchcraft. So false prophecy will always lead to witchcraft. And I showed you how that's tied together there. I want you to get that. True prophecy produces fresh revival in the congregation of believers. All right, the word tells us the letter kills by the spirit, but the spirit gives life. That's 2 Corinthians 3:6. True prophecy inspired by the Holy Spirit will bring life to a meeting of believers. If a prophecy comes, it quenches the spirit in a service, that prophecy was not from God. Period. If a prophecy comes that quenches the spirit, then that prophecy was not from God. True prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will always bear witness with the Spirit, because it says it's the Spirit who bears witness, all right, because the Spirit is truth, 1 Corinthians 5:6. Any prophecy that comes true but does not give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of divination. So that's all you have to do is test the Word of God or test what these mediums are saying against the Word of God. And if it doesn't give him glory. So true prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will always bear witness with the Spirit. So I could tell you, if somebody opens their mouth, whether they're in the church or outside the church, or if they call themselves a medium or a prophet or whatever, if it doesn't line up with my spirit, because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. If his word does not line up with my spirit, then I know he's a false prophet. Or if there's just a little bit of truth in it, and the truth is twisted just a little bit, and it lines up with the word, and it doesn't line up with my spirit, but it doesn't all line up with the word, because you know there's just something off about it. I'm telling you, if you know that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and you know the word of God, because the Holy Spirit is the one that bears witness of that, and he's the one that testifies of the word, you know that when they open their mouth, whether or not you should receive that word. You should immediately know that, because we know that where, you know, two or three, it says, let them prophesy. And matter of fact, let me just look up the scripture for you, because this is wonderful. Matter of fact, there's many scriptures I want to share with you in the next 11 minutes, and I'm trying to hurry. So if there's two or three that need to judge that prophecy, is what I was going to tell you, then you know that it doesn't all line up with the word, or that not all prophecies are from the Lord. Okay, so to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to the another interpretation of tongues. This is the foundation that I laid the last couple weeks in the other teachings. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and to exhort and to comfort. Next, Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. So we can see here this, there's a pattern that we know that the prophet is from the Lord, and that he's speaking to edify the church, to lift up, to exhort, but he's also trying to guide us through his word. Why else would God want to speak to us through his prophets other than to guide us, to lift us up, to edify us? And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Where is this going right now? Where do you see this? Acts 11 and 28 is showing that God gives us the gifts of, the Holy Spirit was the gift of God, but he gives us his gifts through the Holy Spirit. So as you can see very clearly that not only is a gift given, but it's not taken back. It's given to lift us up. Why would he give it to the early church and not give it to us today? It makes no sense whatsoever. Why would he baptize us in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues if the other gifts listed in First Corinthians 12 all the way through 14, chapter 14, was not for us today? Not only are the gifts of the Spirit for us today, but the gift of prophecy is to encourage us as well and to keep us moving forward. And so I could tell you many, many times, I wish I had time to open up my prayer journals and read to you the dreams, that just the dreams. Forget about and put aside the prophetic words, but I could read to you very detailed prophetic dreams that God has given me. And I'm not saying or claiming to be a prophet. What I'm just trying to tell you is that God wants to speak to us. And he may give you dreams, especially if you have a recurring dream. Over and over and over again. If you have a recurring dream and you don't have the gift of prophecy, it's because God is showing you that he's trying to tell you something. Whether you take that dream to somebody that can interpret it, or you pray for the interpretation. No, ask God for the interpretation, because all interpretation is from God anyway. I'm sorry I'm all bundled up today. I'm very cold. So when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, "The Holy Ghost, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Acts 21:11. That's one more prophecy that was given as an example. Okay, 2 Peter 1 and 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So Peter is speaking of obviously the word, because when they talk in the New Testament about the word of God, what they're saying is they're talking about the Torah, or what the books of the prophets. So they're talking about them, because these letters that we call the New Testament letters or epistles is put together now for us. But he's definitely not talking about these letters as a book, which happened later. So for the prophecies came not in old times. He specifically said the old times of the prophets. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they were moved by the Holy Ghost when God put his Spirit or breathed upon them and gave them his Spirit. But as far as we're concerned, he gave us all his Spirit. When we receive salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we now are able to, we now have the Holy Ghost in us so he can speak to us. So if God's not speaking to you, I'm not saying through prophecy or that we're all prophets, so please don't misinterpret this. What I'm trying to tell you is that God wants to speak to you, whether it's in your dreams and he's been trying to get through to you, or if it's because our ears are closed because we've not been told so much as there is prophecy today. Maybe we've been taught that there is no such thing as the gifts of the Spirit, that there is no such thing as gifts the gifts of tongues, or of the gifts of wisdom, or the gifts of knowledge, of words of knowledge, of words of wisdom. All right, these are different gifts. The gifts of faith. There's the gift next week that I'm going to talk about on Monday. I'm going to speak of the discerning of spirits, and that's something that's going to go along right along with what we've talked about today, because the gift of discerning of spirits is very important. And if there's anything I would say that's going to steer you away from this world and from spirits of divination, the gift of discerning of spirits. So we'll talk about that more next week. Let me see how much time we've got left. We've got 5 minutes. I need to move on. If you're just tuning into the broadcast, thank you for tuning into Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and we're continuing a 10-part series of gifts of the Holy Spirit with the gift of prophecy. So if you want to call in next Monday, the 3rd, write the number down. It's 515-602-9613. Or if you're on Facebook or YouTube watching right now, then please write your question. You can even write it after the show. Write it in. I want to hear from you. If you've got any questions on this particular broadcast, I might not have time to answer them right now, but I'll try to answer them in the live feed at the bottom here. Let me know that you're following me and follow us at wbocradio.org, or you can look us up on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you check in and write your questions down. I want you to go to wbocradio.org and watch the live or the pre-recorded archives of this series right now. So I want to pray real quick. I see we've got 4 minutes left. I wish I could have gotten further with you. I love you all so much. And I really want to make sure that you get this word down inside you. I'm so tired of people being misguided, because everything that I'm teaching you right now, everything that I'm speaking to you right now is from the Word of God. And I'm sharing with you the scriptures. There's no way that I can I could take these out of context. They're saying exactly, I should rephrase that. There is a way to take these out of context, and that's through the spirit of error. But please discern the spirit for yourself. Make sure that you take those 9 steps and see if they line up with the Word of God, like I told Catherine. I want to make sure that you guys really understand this, and that God is able to move through us, inspired. Word of God is what it's called, the inspired Word of God, so that we have power and authority to minister to the masses. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you pour out your Spirit upon the nations in the name of Jesus. I pray that you move upon them, Lord, and upon your children, that you will pour out your spirit of prophecy, that your old men shall have dreams and your young men will prophesy. I pray, Lord, that the young women will prophesy, and that you will move upon them to give them words of wisdom and knowledge, that you will pour out your gifts upon the body in this latter day, that the former and the latter rain will come down at the same time. I pray for revival, Lord, that this word will go around the world and the masses of people, that you will deliver them from their circumstances, Lord. Lift them up, and that you will show them the true Messiah is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will open their eyes to hear, or their eyes to see and their ears to hear, that you will remove the blinders of this world from off of their minds, so that they will be able to receive the gospel message. I pray for the peace of Israel, the United States, South Africa, and Asia. I pray, Lord, that you will send your word to all of them and continue to move upon them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for this. I praise you, Lord. I thank you so much. And I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who abides in us now and dwells with us and moves upon us. I thank you, Lord, for the inspired word and this inspired message as it goes throughout the nations, Lord, and touches the people and draws them in. I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will receive salvation. And if there's any sick among you, I pray that you take authority right now in the name of Jesus, and you command that sickness to come out of their body. I pray that you have the confidence, like God told me, it's about confidence. As I spoke about in another series, really quick, I just want to tell you that it's about confidence. It's about the confidence and what he's called you to do, the confidence and who you are in him, and the confidence in what he has done for us already. So please make sure that you operate in the boldness of faith, the gift of faith that he gives us, to stand up and fight against the enemy, to fight against sickness, and don't ask anymore. God has given us every bit of authority and power we need to speak against this sickness and this illness, to speak against the enemy, and to stand our ground in the name of Jesus. So I pray right now that you step out with courage, all right? Courageous, that you're bold. Go and read Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, soever thou goest. Stand up and fight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember to tune into future broadcasts. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter by going to Blog Talk Radio, WBOC Radio. That's WBOC Radio. So any upcoming broadcasts. And don't forget to tune into the upcoming series, Mystery of the Ketubah, starting January 1st. Praise God. I thank you for listening. God bless you, and have a good day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Facebook. I'm tuning out right now, and I'm sorry about this, and YouTube. I'm sorry about this terrible lighting. Starting January 1st, I'm hopefully going to have a thing behind me so you're not so distracted by the blinds and the lights constantly coming on me and changing in the screen. And thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and have a blessed holiday.